They were meant to lead with free will.
But every hand, every vow,
every step
is pulled by someone else.
You put the hat on, you touch the wall, and you do as you're told.
This fall, freedom has strings attached.
Yeah, folks, and that's about the size of it. We need better cartoons. That wasn't real, by the way. That's just another AI thing. But yeah, wouldn't it be great if Pixar was actually making cartoons like that? So here I am in a completely different location. Oh, look at this. Look who's coming down the road here, folks. Fancy running into this guy.
Hey, Max.
Hey. How are you, brother? Good to see you.
Good. Welcome to the ranch.
Yeah, yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful, huh?
Very impressive. Beautiful view, lovely cactuses. Great house, man. Very impressed.
Yeah, we're happy to have you here, at least through an Narcopoco, and then probably a little bit afterwards. We'll see what happens after that. But well, we got like less than 3 weeks to Narcopoco now. I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's quick. Like it's 3 weeks. I think it's just 3 weeks. So yeah, amazing.
Cool.
Gonna be great, looking forward to it.
Yeah, you got your Tesla machine here, right? So we'll get that set up for you so you get lots of energy for the event.
Absolutely, brother.
Awesome.
It's gonna be good. Talk to you soon.
What do you talk about, like the Jews?
Of course, the Jews and the police state of the United States, what King Trump's doing to the world, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's insane, it's insane. everybody's talking about it, but it's causing a huge awakening, which is a good thing, so,
well,
yeah.
You should mention, too, the gold and silver stuff, like,
oh, it's actually insane.
It's never moved like this ever in history.
Ever.
Silver's up $50 last month. Like,
yeah.
You were probably buying silver coins at like $5.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember buying silver like years ago. I bought silver at $6 an ounce. And silver in Australia, I looked yesterday, it was trading at like $202 an ounce. Unbelievable.
That's awesome. Like, good for you.
It's unbelievable. But it's all in a safe in Australia that I can't get to. But anyway, that's good. It's there for my son. So
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's like a sign that this whole system's on the verge of collapse. Like,
oh, it is.
We're on the cusp.
It is. I mean, I'd be surprised if we last this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
This or next year, it's all coming down.
Probably even within months. I mean, it's crazy because silver's never, ever moved like this before.
Yeah,
it's broken free, and again, you know, it isn't the price of silver going up; it's the price of the dollar going down. So.
Oh yeah, of course. No, yeah. But that's what I mean. It's all collapsing right now. All of their stuff's collapsing. All the bank stuff, their fiat currencies, all the Jew stuff.
Yeah, well, they've lost control of the narrative completely.
Yeah, totally.
So that's why they had to do things like shut down TikTok and all sorts of stuff. They're just really doing everything they can to stop people talking, because everybody's noticing.
Yep.
So it is.
That's awesome. Keep noticing. Hi, everybody. Enjoy the video.
See ya.
Bye.
Hey, the people you run into, folks. But yeah, I'm here at Jeff's Ranch, as he indicated. And it's great. It's a fantastic place. And his house is incredible. Like, the house that he's spent the last 5 years building, it's incredible. It's honestly one of the best designed, best laid out, most open plan, user-friendly houses I've ever seen. And he had a little downstairs room in his old place. Had like a downstairs room and then another downstairs room where he had his sauna and all that sort of stuff. Now he's just got this whole, virtually like a gym complex down below levels, which is incredible. And everything's built in, and yeah, amazing place. Still not finished, but getting pretty close. And yeah, I'll probably be here until Anacapulco, which is in 3 weeks. And then I'll go to Puerto Vallarta, and then I'll look at where I'm gonna be from there. Then I'll probably come back here and organize my stuff and figure out where I'm gonna be from there. Interesting times, folks. Really, really interesting times. And they're really pushing the envelope with things in the United States. I mean, it's been a week or so since I did a video, maybe 8 days. The whole Alex Pretty thing that I'm sure everybody's seen, it's gone viral everywhere, people talking about it. This guy virtually executed. And again, I mean, he was a serial pest, if you want to look at it that way. He used to go to these protests and make a habit of being there. I guess he thought he was doing the right thing. There was one video of him kicking the taillight out of ICE's car.
This is a moment the news movement filmed on January 13th in Minneapolis, showing a man who appears to be Alex Preddy interacting with federal immigration agents 11 days before Border Patrol shot and killed him. Our footage was analyzed by the BBC, whose facial recognition technology confirmed his identity to a 97% degree of accuracy. On the morning of January 13th, our team received a tip that federal agents were blocking a street at the corner of East 36th and Park Avenue in Minneapolis. We arrived around 10:15 a.m. We saw observers shouting at the agents as they walked back to their vehicles. When they started driving away, the man kicked their taillight. An agent then got out of the vehicle, grabbed him, and pushed him to the ground. During the altercation, agents fired tear gas and pepper balls into the crowd. They continued to hold the man down before they retreat and he walks away. The man in our footage is wearing a similar outfit to what Preddy was wearing on the day he was killed. What appears to be a gun is also visible above his waistband. Here, he continues to stand at the scene.
So he wasn't a stranger to altercations with ICE. You've got to wonder why he took a gun with him that time, because that's the excuse they're using for why he was shot, was because he had a gun on him. He was actually licensed to carry a gun, and you can see that he was disarmed. And then he was executed. They put 10 bullets into him. I went through the video footage and I counted. There are 10 shots. There is speculation that possibly the gun discharged when they removed it from him, and that that's what set the whole chain of events off, because the gun discharged and so the other officers thought, well, they heard a gunshot, and so they just started firing. People don't react very well in these situations. Well, these ICE officers certainly don't anyway. So there is speculation as to that, you know, but again, he was executed. You don't need to put, even if the first shot went off and there was only 9 bullets they put into him. Why the fuck do you need to put 9 bullets into anybody, especially a US citizen on the streets of Minnesota?
What's going on?
Individual approached U.S. Border Patrol officers with a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. The officers attempted to disarm this individual, but the armed suspect reacted violently. Fearing for his life and for the lives of his fellow officers around him, an agent fired defensive shots. Medics were on the scene immediately and attempted to deliver medical aid to the subject, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. The suspect also had 2 magazines with ammunition in them that held dozens of rounds. He also had no ID. This looks like a situation where an individual arrived at the scene to inflict maximum damage on individuals and to kill law enforcement.
What made you this way?
If you haven't noticed yet, I'm a lying, self-serving cunt. I'll label any U.S. citizen exercising their constitutional rights as a domestic terrorist in order to defend my masked goon squad's murderous actions and applaud them as heroes and as the victims at the same time.
How do you sleep at night?
I am a soulless creature. I am dead inside. You know that Rob Zombie song, Living Dead Girl? That's me. I'm that SS whore making scary sounds. I'm just a morally bankrupt, frigid cunt with bad Play-Doh skin that likes to cosplay as a cowboy.
Irrespective of what his political views are, irrespective of whether he's a serial pest or whatever, You know, legitimizing this sort of thing is very, very dangerous because it means it's going to come home to you as well. And that's what they're so careful to do. They want to normalize it. That's why they've live-streamed Gaza for the last 2.5 years, to normalize genocide. So the people will get used to seeing blown-up children and screaming parents and injured families and destroyed buildings and people being shot on the street by snipers. And, you know, the IDF not giving a living shit about anybody. Soldiers running around dressing in the lingerie of the women of the houses that they've plundered. You know, going plundering Palestinian houses and then dressing up in the women's lingerie just as a taunt to show the Palestinians, look, we're getting into the most private, intimate parts of your life. Not only are we destroying your houses, we are going for the most intimate parts of your life, and we are making a mockery out of it because that's what we enjoy doing. You know, I've normalized all this. And now you see what's happened on the streets of Minnesota. You've seen ICE just go out there. They've been completely out of control. And this is kind of being normalized because there's been so much divide. The Trump mechanism has worked very well at that. The Republicans and the Democrats have never been more divided. And really, there are no Republicans and there are no Democrats. It's a uniparty system. It's all just theater for the masses. It doesn't matter what side you're on. They just want you to be on a side. Pick a team. That's what it's all about. And the divide through Trump, because Trump is really, he's such a polarized personality. The divide that he has created has really, you know, widened this gap in American society. So now you've got the ICE agents going out to a blue state, a democratically governed state from the Democrat Party, and creating this havoc there. And in response to that, you've got the governor of Minnesota, I think, was it Tim Walz, I think his name is. He's now deployed the National Guard to combat the actions of ICE. And then Trump talked about sending in the military. So I don't know whether he has. I mean, I also heard talk that he was actually going to pull ICE out of Minnesota, and I also heard talk that, what's his name, George or Greg Bovino, the head of ICE, has been removed from his job following the shooting of Alex Preti. Interesting name, Preti. Could be called Pretty. And on the other shooting, we heard the woman shot was Renee Good. Pretty good. Interesting. Pretty good start to the revolution, don't you think?
Charlie was arrested and informed that due to an offensive tweet they had made, they were going to be charged and sent to court. As David Lammy had decided to scrap jury trials, Charlie was tried by the Labour Party approved judge and found guilty of on indictment with an offence of inciting racial hatred contrary to Section 19(1) of the Public Order Act 1986, the particulars of the offence being that they published and distributed written material on the social media platform X, formerly Twitter, which was threatening, abusive, or insulting, with the intent thereby to stir up racial hatred, or whereby, having regard to all the circumstances, racial hatred was likely to be stirred up thereby. Charlie was thus sentenced to 3 years in prison. Charlie did not receive any visitors in prison. Their parents did not want to risk associating with such a dangerous speech criminal in case by hearing something they themselves would be committing a crime. Despite the overflowing prisons in Britain due to Keir Starmer's new hate speech laws, a space was found for Charlie by releasing a violent sex offender early, as at least they had not said anything hurtful online. Charlie was forced into re-education struggle sessions in which they were taught all about the new tiers of racial equality and social justice. Although according to the state-appointed teacher, all people were equal, some people were more equal than others. Charlie tried their best to understand all these contradicting and confusing rules, but sadly, they could not grasp why, for example, a one-legged Muslim man, was ranked more oppressed than a polyqueer, gender-fluid, non-binary lesbian. Charlie was able to be released early on the condition their vote would automatically go to the Labour Party if there was an election in the following years, although many of these elections were being postponed indefinitely due to issues with the electoral system. Charlie knew not to question this as they didn't want to risk being sent back to re-education sessions. Whatever the great leader Keir Starmer had planned was in the best interests of the country. Charlie received a phone call from Amelia. They were very worried as despite finding Amelia attractive, Charlie thought she might get them into trouble again. Amelia explained that she was campaigning for the rights of political prisoners and the rights of oppressed people. Charlie was so relieved. If they met with Amelia at this campaign, it was for a good social justice cause, and there was no risk they would get into trouble again for thought crime. However, while they were out campaigning, a police officer approached. Charlie had not thought to question what disadvantaged groups they were fighting for. Amelia was fighting for the rights of the oppressed British people and for political prisoners who, just like Charlie, had been locked up for simply voicing their opinions online. The police officer, which were now simply known as Storm Troopers, told them they were under arrest. Amelia suddenly pulled out a pistol, which was very illegal in Britain due to the government disarming the populace, and began shooting at the stormtrooper while shouting, "Die, you fucking commie pig!" Oh dear, thought Charlie, the revolution had begun.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the way the British would react, I think, to a revolution, you know? Oh dear, the revolution has started. Revolution, they're really trying to get it started in Iran. And all of this is being contrived by Mossad and CIA folks. The people on the ground in Iran are desperate for the world to notice what's going on. This is not a huge uprising against the Ayatollah and any of this sort of stuff. You know, a cry for freedom, because there's already a great deal of freedom in Iran. As I mentioned, like probably a month ago on one of these shows, there's a lot of Westerners living in Iran. It might have a Muslim government, but it isn't Sharia law across the entire country. It is only as far as I don't think you can buy alcohol in Iran, but at least not over the counter. You can get it through underground sources, same as anything, but I don't think it's legal to sell alcohol in Iran. But apart from that, it's not Sharia law. You know, all of the millions of Christians and Jews who live in Iran are not required to walk around with hijabs and, you know, covering themselves. There's people who go down the beach and they wear swimsuits. There's women walk around with their hair out, walk around with their midriff showing. Here's a video of Iran in May 2025, okay, last year, about 7 months ago. Yeah, so it's nothing like what you're being told. You know, the West has this impression that all of the women in Iran are required to walk around wearing black outfits and being completely covered from head to toe, and that they're all repressed and being brutalized by their government at the moment. You know, Jewish sources are saying 20,000 people were killed in 2 days in Iran by the government. Think about those figures, folks. 20,000 people were killed in 2 days in Iran by the government. In World War II, one of the most brutal battles of World War II was the Battle of the Bulge. The Battle of the Bulge was absolutely brutal. There were air strikes, there were tanks, there was military, there was artillery, there were soldiers, tens of thousands of them in there battling it out against each other. And the battle lasted for 6 weeks. And the death toll from that battle was 19,600. In 6 weeks of bombardment with airstrikes, tanks, heavy artillery, that was the death toll. And you're telling me that Iran, the Iranian secret police, have managed to murder 20,000 civilians in 2 days. I mean, you know, if you believe the stories that you're being told about what's going on in Iran, it's ridiculous, folks. All of these stories are being pushed so that you'll welcome the United States going in there to free the people. Not freeing the people, they're going in to bomb the shit out of the country. Yeah, sure, the Iranian people are begging for the United States to come and free them. Yeah, sure. The people of Iran are sitting there saying, please, Mr. Trump, come and bomb us. We want you to come and bomb Tehran. We want you to come and bomb all of our cities and kill millions upon millions of our civilians because it's going to free us. What's it going to free them from? It's going to free them from life. It's ridiculous. This whole scenario has been cooked up by Israel, and there are Israeli agents in there who are creating all of the havoc. There was actually a good but very disturbing Anim video that someone created, which showed exactly what's going on. You've got these Mossad and CIA plants in Iran who were given vast amounts of money to start distributing weapons and go and join the street marches and just start randomly killing people and blowing shit up and doing as much damage as they can. A little disturbing, but I'll show it to you here. If you don't want to watch it, I think it goes for maybe 2 or 3 minutes. You can just fast forward.
Iran, Nisan Niji Rokunen, Ichigatsu Yoka.
Yeah, and that's what's going on, folks. And this whole specter of Muslim extremism anyway has been completely contrived and cooked up by Israel. That's why they positioned themselves. Well, I mean, the Jews were offered Madagascar when Hitler moved them out of Germany, because Jews declared war on Germany in 1933. Let's get the timeline right with all this. This plan's been going on for a long time. I mean, ever since before World War I, they wanted Palestine because they want to be able to set themselves up as God's chosen people when they're anything but. These are not the Jews of the Bible. They're not the Israelites of the Bible. They're not any of that sort of shit. Of course, all of that stuff existed back in biblical times, the menorah and all the sort of stuff that these parasites have latched onto and claimed as their own, and claimed that there is a Jewish race and there are Jewish people and they're connected to King David, because look, we use a menorah and we follow what it says in the Torah and we do all this religious bullshit. You know, we're going to claim we're the Jews and that we're the ones that are chosen and all this sort of crap. So they couldn't accept Madagascar when Hitler offered them that. I mean, they tried to get Palestine before World War I. They couldn't get it. So there was the Balfour Declaration. And then they staged the attack on the Lusitania to get America involved in the war and said, okay, now honour the Balfour Declaration. But Britain didn't honour it. So World War II started. And then Hitler, I mean, they declared war on Germany in 1933. Hitler moved them all down to Palestine in 1933 in the Transfer Agreement, or Havara Agreement. And they've been running this whole thing ever since. So they need the land of Palestine so they can claim that they're Jews and Jews come from Judea and all this bullshit that they've concocted. And they've done it over this period of time because the last two or three generations that have actually grown up into Israel have been fully educated into this false doctrine and this false version of history over a period of generations. You can't get a 21 or 22 or 25 or even a 30-year-old Jew, or probably even a 50-year-old Jew, probably even a 60-year-old Jew, and try to tell them anything different than what their Jewish education system has taught them. Ever since they got in place and they opened their Jewish schools and they started modifying history, even now they're saying that in 1948 there was no Nakba. They didn't expel any Palestinians. What happened in 1948 was the Arabs invaded Israel and tried to expel the Jews. And they occupied parts of Israel, Gaza and West Bank. And Israel has been trying to get them back ever since. But they've been standing up against terrorist activity. And the reason it's taken so long is because they're such humane people. And it wasn't until that these terrorists in Gaza came and carried out the October 7th attack did they just put down any semblance of being human to these people. They're just animals and we're going to go and kill them all. And we're justified in doing so because look what they just did to us after we've allowed them to occupy our lands for so long. This is literally the bullshit that they're spreading, folks. When really, the Jews came to Palestine, modern Jews who call themselves Jews, came to Palestine in 1947 and they formed the state in 1948. And they've been occupying it more and more and taking over the place ever since. This is why these people have been kicked out of their host countries 1,030 times. And this has happened to 109 countries. They've been kicked out of 109 countries 1,030 times. I figure, well, if we go to a country as small as Palestine, we can claim we are the Jews of old and we can claim an ancestral connection to that land through Judea, because that exists in that land. And Palestine's too small. They can't really throw us out. All we've got to do is breed and throw all of them out and claim that this land is ours. And once we've got it, we can expand into Lebanon and Syria and Jordan and the Sinai and parts of Iraq and parts of Turkey, and we can form Greater Israel. But we need to get a foothold in there first. Thank you. And they say they're not an occupying force. And they've got such hubris, they post maps like this to say, look, Arabs occupy all of the land around us. We are such a tiny country. How could you call us an occupying force? And yet the map shows that even though they were offered Madagascar, no, they chose to place themselves smack bang in the middle of the Arab world, and they've been attacking their neighbours ever since. That's what it shows. Yeah, and now they're pushing this whole revolution in Iran, and Trump might even bomb Iran this week, or this weekend. Trump, he's going to go down as one of the most hated presidents in US history. All of the pro-Trump talk that you see all over X and stuff, most of it, I would suggest, is bot activity. Some of it is just people who are demented. Senator Babbitt from Australia, who has always seemed like he was in there batting for the people. And you can't trust any of these politicians, folks, but he always seemed that he was in there batting for the people. He's now been totally pro-ICE, totally pro-Trump, totally pro-taking the rights away from the Australian people, totally pro-war with Iran. Speaking of taking rights away from the Australian people, on the last video that I did, I said that the hate speech bill hadn't passed. I got that information from a tweet by Senator Malcolm Roberts on X. He said, yes, we defeated the bill. And then 2 days later, I heard, no, the bill actually passed. The hate speech laws got passed in Australia. And since then, we've seen the most incredible stuff. People being arrested for a tweet, people being arrested, people being stopped on the street, their cars pulled over because they've got a watermelon sticker on their back window, and this is seen as an anti-Semitic symbol. Unbelievable. There was a guy in a soccer game or something as well, not in Australia, but he had stopped a genocide in the ink, the sunscreen under his, and they threw him off for anti-Semitic slurs. Now, hang on a minute. If someone's got "stop the genocide" written on them, or in a poster or something, how is that an anti-Semitic slur? According to many sources, there are genocides going on all over the world. There's a genocide going on in Rwanda right now. According to Israeli sources, if they can be believed, there's a genocide going on in Iran right now. This guy had "stop the genocide" written in his sunscreen, and he was taken off the field for anti-Semitic slurs. Didn't mention Israel, didn't mention Gaza, just said "stop the genocide." But like I said, there are genocides going on all over the place, so why would this be seen as an anti-Semitic slur unless it is you who are saying that Israel is actually committing a genocide? If you're not saying that, then how is the term "stop the genocide" anti-Semitic when there is, as I said, genocides in Rwanda, Iran, if we're to believe the media, and all sorts of places going on at the moment? So, you know, they sort of expose themselves in what they do, folks. But it's gone to a ridiculous degree. There was a woman in Australia, apparently intellectually impaired, who was looking for a course in nutrition. She rang up a nutritionist because this nutritionist had been recommended to her by somebody else. She rang up the nutritionist and tried to arrange an appointment with her. And then later on in the day, she pocket dialed her a couple of times. And have a look at the result of this mistaken pocket dial.
Police have taken a young Meadowbank woman to court, alleging she left an anti-Semitic voice message for a well-known nutritionist just days after the Bondi attack. But the accused's lawyer says it was an accidental pocket dial, and the charges are a massive overreach.
What police allege was an anti-Semitic threat, the defence says was anything but.
This seems to be a case of charge burst and answer questions later.
Serena Tanuri, charged with harassing Mandy Sacker, a nutritionist of Jewish faith she'd never met but seen on TV and social media. The alleged offending contained in a voicemail 1 week after the Bondi massacre.
All of the circumstances of this case point in one direction. It is an accidental call.
Serena's lawyer, noting his client who works at Bunnings, has a severe intellectual and cognitive disability supported by the NDIS.
She's not anti-Semitic. She doesn't even understand the conflict.
It's alleged Serena sent a text to Mandy, writing, "Hey, how are you? Is this Mandy? I saw somewhere that you helped Katie from Married at First Sight with her nutrition. I was wondering if you could help me as well, Serena." Around 5 hours later, a call from Serena's number went to Mandy's voicemail. No voices were heard on the recording, but Mandy claims she heard sounds she believed were gunshots, causing her immediate fear and nervousness.
It could be a bed creaking. It could be someone snoring.
The 26-year-old, who has also been hit with an AVO, pleaded not guilty today. The case is listed for next month when a decision will be made on whether the charge is dropped or if the matter goes to a hearing.
And you were very shocked to hear you being charged from police?
Especially like with my mental health. Just wish people could understand.
Yeah, I mean, what can you even say to that? I mean, how desperate is this Jewish woman to present herself as a victim? How desperate for attention must she be to think, oh my God, I think I heard gunshots. It was a threatening call. Could have been someone putting their glass down on a bar. Could have been someone closing a door. Muffled sounds. She actually sat there and listened to the whole thing. You know, oh, it's happening again. There were two calls. The woman was obviously a pocket doll. And not only that, I mean, she is so desperate to be in the media and to support the Jewish victim narrative that she called the police over it. And the police are so programmed and so stupid that they actually went to see the woman and they thought it was a chargeable offence and she's got to go to court over it. And not only that, but the judge accepted the case. I mean, you can see what we're up against, folks. It's ridiculous. It's been, I mean, this is like a skit from a comedy show at this point. It really is. It's just unbelievable. But yeah, so the hate speech laws came in, and this is the result. And I showed you also on the last video that British guy saying, well, thank God, folks, and congratulations, everybody. We overturned the digital ID. I said on that show, so you watch. You watch what will happen. They will now change the tactic and they'll say they need to protect the children and they'll start bringing in age verification so that they can limit people under the age of 16 from accessing the internet the way they're doing in Australia. And of course, in order to do that, you're going to need facial recognition and digital ID for everybody over the age of 16. And there we go, they've just done it. They've just announced this in the UK, and Macron has also announced that this is what they're going to do in France. So that's the way it's going, folks, and that's the plan, and it always unfolds just the way we predict it's going to unfold. I really hope Trump doesn't go and bomb Iran. It's such a beautiful country. But again, this is what this whole spectre of Muslim extremism has been all about, folks. You know, and for a while there, I mean, I have to admit, even I, for a while, I mean, there was so much propaganda coming out that even me, for a little while, just a moment, started thinking, well, maybe there is some sort of an uprising happening there. Maybe there is a lot of deaths happening in Iran. Here's Jeff's house, by the way, folks. This is the house, I mean, outside here, it's still obviously being constructed. That's the main living area there. This is the area that's for his kids. And they're not really here yet, so that's going to be constructed later. They're going to finish that later. and mainly just focusing on the main house here. But it's an incredible place, blue roof as well. He's thinking ahead. So yeah, but what was I saying? That's right, the whole revolution thing in Iran, I mean, for a second there, I wondered whether there really was an uprising. And then I saw the death figures on the mainstream media. For over a period of 4 days, the death figures are, you guessed it, over 33,000 people dead. I thought, oh, there it is, the 33. Of course it's a fraud, and you can tell. They give all this shit away, folks. They give all this shit away. Something else I want to discuss as well is, like, a week ago I uploaded a video, the full interview in 6 parts, strung all together, so it's like a four and a half hour video. But it's in 6 parts. If you watch it on YouTube, or even if you watch it on BitChute, you'll find that the video will restart from wherever you left it. If you watch it on BitChute, you know, you can watch an hour of it, hour and a half of it, get to part two, and then turn it off and go do something else and come back the next day and start the video again, and it will pick up from where you left off. So, but I posted that whole video because I think it's important. I really do. There are a lot of people who fell into the left-right paradigm and said, oh, this guy's a Democrat. He's saying it would have been different if Biden was in or whatever. To me, that just shows me that, you know, he's just a pleb, just a normal, everyday, left-right guy. He thinks that the system's real. I mean, you know, he joined the military. He's in the military for 21 years, for God's sake. Don't expect him to be too enlightened. But to me, that just adds credibility to it. And hey, this has gone pretty viral, this interview. The YouTube video that I saw of it has had around about 400,000 views last time I looked. So a lot of people are getting this information. It's been posted on X, segments of it have been posted on TikTok. Maybe that's one of the reasons they did what they did to TikTok. But a lot of people have been looking at this video and looking at this information. We know Trump, he loves to sue people. So let's see if he sues anybody over this. Let's see if he sues anybody for defamation, for putting out this video, making all these heinous claims about it. Will he do that, or will he simply ignore it and hope it goes away? And in response to this, there has been a new rule that came in on TikTok where they actually banned the use of the word Epstein. You know, and like, bear in mind that there's more than one Epstein, but if you even type in the word Epstein into TikTok, they won't allow you to make that post. I mean, do you think anybody's scared about what might be being revealed, folks? Because a lot of stuff is being revealed. A real lot of stuff is being revealed. I want to go down to the bottom here, but there's someone down there mowing the lawn, so I don't know if it's going to be a good idea until they finish with the lawnmower. But yeah, I think a lot of stuff is being revealed, folks, and I think they're very, very concerned about just how much is being revealed. I mean, Trump's really going hard to keep people as distracted as he can, using everything he can. He's prepared to blow up entire countries. You know, invade Venezuela, bomb Iran, put ice on the street in Minnesota. Do everything he can to keep people focused on anything but his true involvement with Jeffrey Epstein and what they were really up to. So that's going to determine the credibility of what William Sasha Riley is saying about his experience with Donald Trump. I mean, William Sasha Riley has said he is prepared to go to court, take a lie detector test, whatever, meet Trump face to face with this. All Trump has to do is sue him for defamation. But if Trump does sue him for defamation, then Trump is going to have to prove that what he is saying is wrong and is false. And that's why it won't happen, folks. That's why you won't see Trump addressing this, because he doesn't want to take it to court, because it's going to completely bring him undone. He just wants to kill everybody off, like everybody else, like what the Israelis are doing. They really want to kill off white people, folks. You notice a diversity in everything. Like any time you see a couple or a family or anything, it's always multi-race, mixed-race family. They ran a NATO ad the other day. They want European countries to join NATO to go and fight for Ukraine, ward off the terrible Russian menace. When you look at the NATO recruitment ad, it's all white people.
NATO means a future I can look forward to, knowing we are not alone.
NATO means supporting our Ukrainian friends in times of need. Slava Ukraini!
NATO means our future, stronger together.
NATO means protecting each other for the past 75 years and for the years to come.
NATO means working side by side, every day, civilian and military, to improve our security.
NATO means celebrating our differences and overcoming challenges together.
NATO means living in a free society and a chance to shape our own future.
NATO means serving a greater purpose to protect the ones that I love the most.
Yeah, not a lot of diversity in there, folks. Not in the NATO ad. We want you to go to war, but just the white people. There was one guy who looked like he had dark skin, and if you look again, it's just a white guy with camouflage paint on his face. So, you know, if you're a white guy, we want you to go to war, and you can go off there and kill each other, and we don't want the black people to go, we don't want the Jews to go, we don't want anybody else to go, just you white people. Have a look at this place, folks. It's a beautiful area where we are. Jeff's place. And yeah, like I said, I'm going to be here for maybe 3 weeks or a month, and then I'll probably move on to other pastures. But you just never know what's going to happen between now and then. Yeah, beautiful place, huh? And what else is happening, folks? Oh, that's right. With the whole Minnesota thing as well, remember we said these people are being trained by IDF. A lot of the ICE agents are actually being trained by IDF. A lot of police forces are being trained by IDF. Now they're openly offering that to Australian police, of course, after the Bondi massacre. IDF are offering to train Australian police, which means you're going to have basically IDF instructors on the ground in Australia managing your police forces. Remember what I said about having fifth columns in all of our countries and Israel is taking over the world. They want Anthony Albanese out and they want Pauline Hanson in because she will be completely subservient to Israel through the influx of migrants that the whole system has deliberately brought into your country. They played Albanese off as the mean little guy who did this. They're going to play Pauline Hanson offers the strong woman, because there are no strong men anymore, of course. The strong woman is going to come in and fix the problem. And she's also going to get rid of the terrible Muslim menace by aligning herself with Israel and having IDF come in to basically govern and control the Australian police, is what it is. So we're going to train your police. No, they're coming in there to basically control the police force. And we're saying that ICE agents in the United States, a lot of these have been trained by IDF. Well, it turns out that a lot of them actually are IDF.
Yep, it's true. ICE is recruiting ex-IDF soldiers out of Tel Aviv. There's the information. I got it directly from the government website. This is not a screenshot from a social media post. So it is true. It is true. We have Israelis telling us how we should live. That bothers me, and it should bother you as well. Oh, also, side note, Israel was nice enough to give the Department of Homeland Security software they can use to spy on us. So they can literally see everything that we say and do. They can literally see everything we do. They hear everything we say. That's where we're at. America first, my fucking left nut.
Yeah, so that's what's going on in America, and that's what's going to be happening in most countries, folks. And these people are brutal. They really are brutal. They just rape, pillage, and plunder. They beat people up horrendously. It's disgusting what they do. Even like so many Palestinians are returned with missing organs. And they die in custody and they get returned with missing organs. And Israel has now applied for the Guinness Book of Records for giving 2,000 kidney donations in a year.
Israel applied to the Guinness Book of World Records for the most organ transplants, kidney transplants. And the Guinness Book of World Records accepted their application. Even though it has been proven that Palestinian hostages were returned to their families missing organs, corneas, hearts, livers, kidneys, skin, fingers. And what's most fucked is that the Guinness Book of World Record previously denied any applications from the Israel-Palestine region and didn't give a reason why. I guess all they had to do was prove that they were stealing fucking organs to have their application approved. These fucking Israelis are walking around not only on Palestinian land, but with their fucking organs inside their bodies.
2,000 kidney donations. And these donations are organs that are being stolen from Palestinians.
No. נוגעים, משאירים שלם את החייל, מאוד חשוב, אבל לוקחים מאחרים.
ממי?
אז עכשיו השאלה מי, תדמיינו ממי לוקחים. בתקופות מסוימות לקחו מפלסטינאים, ואחר כך זה היה עולים חדשים, עובדים זרים.
I mean, this is so sick that they would be even thinking of acknowledging and giving any type of Guinness record to this country for kidney donations when all of these are stolen from murdered corpses of Palestinians. That's how sick our world has become, folks. Really, really sick. Jeff's little menagerie down here. He's got some sheep down here, which is pretty cool. But all this is going to be bigger pens for them and a lot more free range. And he's got all sorts of stuff worked out. But yeah, but just think about that, folks. Applying for a Guinness Book of Record over stolen kidneys. Who'd even think of doing that? And so many victims, folks. And 2,700 bloodlines completely eradicated, entire families, whole bloodlines gone from Palestine. 6,000 families with only one survivor left.
While each individual death is a tragedy in its own right, the scale of generational loss is hard to comprehend. You see, in the last 2 years, more than 2,700 families have been wiped off of Gaza's civil registry. At least 40,000 families have been targeted, and 6,000 families have been left with just a single sole survivor. Erasing Palestinian bloodlines, the very essence of genocide.
But it's not a genocide. Now, this is really one of the most profound images to perfectly illustrate what happened in Palestine. As much as they try to rewrite history, this is truly one of the most profound images you'll see, because this is exactly what happened. And they've infiltrated everything. There's been a lot of stuff come out about Charlie Kirk and TPUSA as well. It would appear that TPUSA was just a Mossad front the whole time. The whole time. Money laundering, ballot rigging. Charlie Kirk didn't know about any of it. Charlie Kirk was a front man. He was an honest and decent guy. And they put him out there as a front man to promote a message that was strong and true, because they knew he was a strong and true individual that would promote a good message. And he did it. And then when he started to wake up to how much he was being scammed, they killed him. There's a guy, someone, I can't remember his name, Tyler Boyer or Tom Boyer or Boyman or something like that. But he was basically running the whole company. And I'm sorry, I can't think of his name, but he was basically running the whole company. Charlie was away all the time. He was always on tour. I actually met someone in Sedona, a guy called Matthew, friend of Rachel's, my friend Rachel Reinstra, who lives in Sedona. We met this guy at a bar called Jerome. And he was telling us about all the dirt that he had on TPUSA because he used to work for them. And I actually suggested that he contact Stu Peters. And then I saw him on the Stu Peters show, like the day before yesterday. And he was talking about all this sort of stuff. And he said that the guy who ran the whole thing, there were two companies. There was Turning Point USA and there was America's Turning Point. Two different companies. Excuse me. And this guy was funneling money out of TPUSA into America's Turning Point and using that to basically fix ballots and stuff like that. Charlie had called for an audit of the whole thing. He wanted like a Doge-like inquiry into the running of TPUSA. And he's realizing that all of the donors and all this stuff, these were all Jews, and these are all the people that are running all the stuff he's speaking out against. He's saying, yeah, we've got to stop mass migration and all this sort of stuff. He's finding out that this is all funded by these Israeli sources. He went on Ben Shapiro and blah, 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 said that thing he said, and then 24 hours later, he was dead. He sent a text out to everybody the day before saying, I think they're going to kill me. But it turns out that this whole thing was a Mossad-run operation from the start. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Erica Kurt was his handler. She's got so many connections to Mossad, to Raytheon, so much stuff. Israel, out there partying her face off, you know, with all of the stuff that's going on. She's out there literally partying and saying, wow, how wonderful it is, we raised $100,000 over the weekend. This is like 11 days after her husband was publicly murdered. So this whole thing's been a Mossad front right from the start. And like I said, what they've done over the last few years is get people comfortable with genocide, because this is all coming home to us now. Like I've said so many times, folks, the way of Palestine will be the way of the world. We've got to be very, very careful about how we face the future. And all of this is coming home to roost. The thing is, a lot of people are waking up now. Like, the system is failing. I mean, the old structure is still there. It's the only structure that the people know. But the system itself is failing. So they've got to ban all the young people from social media and all the shit that they're doing, because people just aren't buying into it anymore. The facade of what Israel is falling down rapidly. It was Holocaust Memorial Day the other day, by the way, folks, January 27th. And when you look at the figures over the last 25 years, or 26 years, 27 years, the number of Holocaust survivors has multiplied rapidly over time. How do you do that? Because, of course, now there are second and third and fourth generation Holocaust survivors that are still trying to hit you up for a buck for being a third generation Holocaust survivor, because being a third generation Holocaust survivor does have trauma attached to it. Oh, these poor fucking people. Third generation Holocaust survivor. There wasn't even a first generation Holocaust survivor because there was no Holocaust. I mean, let's be real about it, folks. It simply didn't happen. But yeah. But as I said before, with TikTok banning the word Epstein, what we've seen is a mass exodus from TikTok. And like in droves, people have left in droves. There's another platform that's been around apparently for a while called Upscrolled. And this had, you know, a matter of like 400 users or 2,000 users or something like that. And suddenly, in a period of about 2 days, it had a million users. All these people went over there because it's not censored. And then suddenly within a week, it became the most downloaded app, apparently on a Google Play list. Because it's free speech. So many people started using it, the guy ended up coming in saying, listen, I'm going to have to moderate it a little bit. And everyone started arcing up saying, oh, look, he said it was going to be free speech and now he's backpedaling. Well, actually, no, he's being very sensible because, I mean, you want to make sure that people aren't posting pornography, child porn, human trafficking, you know, death threats, planning assassinations, you know. I mean, let's get real about this. You need to have some form of moderation to make sure people aren't doing things that are grossly illegal and damaging and harming to society. But he's going to let you have an opinion. You're not going to be banned or penalised for saying the word Epstein, and there's not going to be any of this freedom of speech but not freedom of reach shit. You know, what you post is just on an equal platform with everything everybody else posts. If what you post has merit, then people will share it and a lot of people will see it. That's the way it's going to work. It doesn't matter. There are no algorithms to control how many views you get, and that's a good thing. But there is no censorship of criticism of Israel, and this is going to of course cause a problem, and it already has, because apparently like this platform, which incidentally was created by an Australian Palestinian man who apparently had his entire family, like 60 family members or something, killed during the Gaza genocide, has created this social media platform. And when Israelis go to sign up to it and they try to put in their location and they type in the word Israel, Israel doesn't come up as one of the places you can select. What comes up instead is occupied Palestine. I think that's great. And that in itself was novel enough to make a lot of people want to go and sign up there. But you watch what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to get a lot of Jews, you're going to put on VPNs, they're going to say they're from India, or they're going to say they're from the United States, or whatever. They're going to sign up to this platform, put their country as somewhere else, and they're going to start using names such as Kill the Jews, Jews are parasites, Jews must be exterminated, Fuck the Jews, Death to Israel, Death to the Jews. This is the sort of names, the usernames they're going to start using. And you're going to find that these are all Israelis. These are all Israeli agents that are going to go out of their way. They're going to get whole squads of Israelis, Hasbara, Sayanim, and even probably whole officers of IDF, hundreds of people, are going to sign up to this platform, and they're going to use names like that. And they're going to start posting death to Israel, kill all the Jews, bring back the gas chambers, Hitler is my saviour, all sorts of stuff like this is what they're going to do. Because they want anybody in the world who actually goes and looks at Upscrolled to go, oh my God, this is an anti-Semitic hate fest. When it isn't, it's just you're allowed to say anything about anybody on Upscrolled. You're allowed to criticize Muslims, you're allowed to criticize Christians, you're allowed to criticize white people, criticize black people, criticize whoever you want. That's your opinion, you're allowed to have your opinion. And you find you're allowed to do that pretty well anywhere, unless you're saying anything positive about white people. You're not allowed to do that anywhere on any platform. Two things you're not allowed to do on any social media platform is say anything positive about white people, you'll be seen as a white supremacist and a racist, and you're not allowed to criticize anything about Israel or the Jews. On pretty well all social media platforms, well, that taboo is lifted on Upscrolled. And so, of course, they're going to say it's an anti-Semitic white supremacist platform. Because you can say, wow, white people are down to only 6% of the world population, perhaps you need to start having children. I say, no, you're supporting climate change, you're a disgrace to your society, you need to stop having children, blah, blah, blah. Again, see the NATO ad, you know, go kill yourself in a war. So you're obviously a white supremacist because you're not saying that white people need to be wiped out. And you're obviously anti-Semitic, you're an anti-Semitic Nazi because you are criticizing Israel's genocide of Palestine. And, you know, that's the way they're going to try to paint this platform. So to the guy who runs the platform, I mean, I don't know whether you'll see this, but you've got to be very, very careful of these types of names. I mean, there are certain social media platforms, I think, where they won't let you log in or make a post. Like, there's certain classified platforms, I think, where people sell stuff, sell cars or whatever, sell jewelry, sell houses. And if you're using a VPN to make a post, the site knows and it won't let you make the post. Perhaps that would be a way of filtering out Israelis that are using the website or using the platform. But I would be very careful of these types of accounts opening. I'd keep an eye out for accounts that are specifically signing up, not for free speech, but specifically signing up to just project massive amounts of hatred and insults and death wishes at Jews. Because you'll find these are all Israelis that are doing this. And as I said, the goal is to get Upscrolled closed down. That's how they do it, folks. They stage these attacks against themselves all the time. Like, all the time. They have a history of it. Yeah, it's just what these people do, folks. You know, if we could only just get rid of Israel, it would make so much difference. Yeah, it's a death cult. Judaism is literally a death cult. Everything they accuse others of doing, they do themselves. Most brutal, hideous, sadistic people. They do anything for war. They thrive on war and death and bloodshed. This is just what they do, what they love. But as I said, the paradigm is shifting. It's breaking down. With all this negative stuff that's happening, it's really causing the paradigm to break down. A lot of the Gen Z kids, the young kids growing up through this, are just seeing through the whole thing. Yeah, the more they try to censor it, the more people see it. And even with what's going on in Gaza, I mean, it's ludicrous when you think about it. It's freaking hilarious that they're claiming that we need to feel sympathy for the Jews and see them as victims. When the live-streamed brutality that we've seen over the last 2.5 years in Gaza shows us exactly what the Palestinians have been fighting against for the last 80 years, how brutal these people are and what they're prepared to do. Because it didn't just start on October the 7th, folks, or October the 8th. They've been doing this to the Palestinians for years. But it shows us just how brutal they are. They say, oh, no, we're the victims. Everybody hates us and wants to kill us. They say bad things about us, so we have to go and bomb their countries because they hate us. And why don't they just stop hating us? We'll keep bombing their countries until they stop hating us. Because we are the victims because they're saying bad things about us. And so we're going to go and do all the things that they're accusing us of in order to have them stop saying bad things about us. It's fucking insane, folks. I mean, this is the mentality of these people, so yeah. But anyway, look, I'm going to leave it there for now. As Jeff said, 2 weeks to an Acapulco, which is going to be cool, folks. I'm looking forward to seeing you all there. I don't know where I'm going to be. after there, but who knows? Maybe I'll be back here for a little while. But I'm looking forward to it. And again, thank you to all the people who sent me so many kind emails. Thank you to anybody who's ever made a contribution to the website. All the people that have wanted interviews, I've actually contacted a bunch of people, so I should get a couple of interviews posted for you in the next few days as well, folks, which will be good. And I think that's about all I have to say. Again, all the people that have contacted me over going and visiting my nephew in Australia, because I mentioned that my nephew has a Tesla machine. If you would like to try the Tesla machine, you can give him a call. I hope you've all contacted him, all the people that sent me emails. There's been quite a few. So I think he's like charging people like $50 to come and use it now, because, I mean, he's getting so many people coming around wanting to use it that it kind of takes up a lot of time to do all these people. So that's pretty fair. And but if you contact him, you will be able to do it. He's on the Gold Coast in Australia. And I forwarded a lot of email to him. And if you are someone who wants to use the Tesla machine or try the Tesla machine, and you're in Australia and close to the Gold Coast, just send me an email and I will pass you on to my nephew, and you'll be able to do that. So yeah, I think that's about all I've got to say. I don't think there's anything else on my list. We're in such crazy times, folks, and keep an eye on your finances as well, because this system is going down. The jumps that have been made in silver, like I was saying to Jeff, the silver that I bought at $6, the last price I saw in Australia was like $202 an ounce or something. Just ridiculous. But again, you know, it's in a safe back in Australia that I can probably never get to. I don't even know if I'm ever going to be able to get back to Australia again. But hey, it's there for my son, for his future anyway, so that's a good thing. He'll have a stake in his future. Yeah, but we can change things if we latch on to this awakening that's happening. Like I've said so many times, withdrawal service from these people. Even with Alex Preddy getting killed and all that sort of shit, whether he died, whether it was staged, same with Renee Good, whether she died, whether it was staged, it doesn't matter. It's what they do with it. It's the trauma that they want to induce. And this sort of thing, I mean, if Alex Preddy or Pretty, whatever he is, did actually die, well, that's very sad. But as I've said so many times, there's better ways of doing things. You don't need to go to these protests. Go and put yourself in harm's way. What for? The best form of protest is non-compliance. You can protest by just staying home and withdrawing all service from the system. I've been saying this for years. This is the solution, and this is the only solution. And what people can't get about this, I mean, it's really the only solution. It's the only way you're going to get through this mess, is to realize that we are the ones who create this mess through our participation. There's anti-hate speech laws and all this sort of shit. What if everybody just ignores them and just does what they do anyway? What are they going to do, arrest the entire population? It's unreal, folks, you know. We've got to wake up to ourselves and realize that we are the ones who hold this whole mess up. And we have the ability to pull it down. And going to these protests and putting yourself in harm's way, it proves nothing. Nothing. Put a sign up on your door. Let them go door to door. Put a sign up on your door saying, unauthorized access, forbidden. Trespassers will be shot. To the United States, for God's sake, you've got the legal right to do that. Some armed guy walks onto your property. You got the right to take a shot at him as soon as he walks on your property, because that's the United States. That's the Second Amendment. Especially if you've got a sign up saying unauthorized entry, forbidden, trespassers will be shot. You're within your legal right to do that within the United States. I mean, all these gun owners say, oh, if they ever come for me, rah, rah, rah. Well, they come for you, folks. They're doing it right now. What are you going to do about it? See, all of these migrant laws and all this stuff they're putting in place, it isn't for the migrants, it's for the Americans. You got to understand that. They just put this stuff in and then it never goes away. It's like income tax, which is temporary, just to pay for the cost of World War I. Just 3 years. We're just going to tax you for 3 years to recoup the money we spent defending you in World War I, And what is it now? That was what, 1914 they brought that in? 1913, 1914, maybe 1915. What are we now? 2026. Okay, 110 years later, that temporary income tax is still nailing you to the wall at every opportunity. It's unreal, folks. It's just unreal. Anyway, look, I'm going to leave it there for now, folks. Thank you for joining me on this report. It's always a pleasure to have you company. I am looking forward to seeing anybody coming to Anakapulco. Again, if you want to come, you'll find a link below. Anakapulco.com. You can use my name, Egan. You can get yourself a 10% discount on the ticket. There is going to be a Crow House bar at the event this year as well. I believe it's going to be at the Gucci bar. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know where it's going to be. Someone set it up, but I think that's the name, is the Gucci bar. And it's in Puerto Vallarta. And I will look forward to seeing you there, folks. Look at the creek down here. Jeff has really set himself up well. We can see why he's so excited about it. And looking at the house that he's built up there, I can see why he's been saying to me that he's kind of running out of money as well. Because there certainly has been a fair bit go into this house. Whoops. I don't want to zoom. I want to scroll. How do I do that? No. I don't know how to tilt the camera down, folks. I'll have to figure that out. This is the new GoPro that I'm not used to. But yeah, a little creek down there. Beautiful. But yeah, incredibly beautiful house that he's built. And good on him. It's taken 5 years to get this place up and running. And I must say that I'm impressed. I can't wait to see it when it's finished. But anyway, I'll leave it there for now, folks. And you have a wonderful day. Thank you for sending me all the kind thoughts that you send me. And thanks for sharing the information the way so many of you do. And I'll look forward to speaking to you again soon, folks. I'll definitely be able to bring you another video, maybe even two, before Anakapulco. But please do take care until then. And hey, enjoy the show, folks. And stay out of trouble. Like I said, you don't need to go to these protests. All you've got to do is stand in your own truth and stand in your own power. Be yourself. Realize you came here to grow your soul. This whole system is going to break down under the weight of its own dysfunctional nature. There's nothing anybody can do about it. There's nothing we can really do to fix it either. It's gone. It has to. It's in its death throes. We're seeing it to, you know, desperately try to maintain its control, but it's not going to do it. So much stuff's coming out. All the information about Trump and all this pedophile activity and all this shit is coming out. People are seeing through the veil now. People are seeing Israel for what it is. People are seeing through the whole God's chosen narrative, realizing how they stole this whole identity. It's not theirs to begin with. So, yeah. The whole facade is falling down, folks. And we're heading for a new world, new times in a new world. What that's going to look like, well, that's going to depend on us. But yeah, really interesting times. Hell of a time to be alive. Enjoy the show. But I look forward to speaking to you next time, folks. Please take very good care. Until then, in Lakesh.
Bazaarists and ordinary citizens gathered to peacefully protest. Rising costs, economic hardship, the direct result of America's economic terrorism, unlawful sanctions designed to suffocate Iran. The demonstrations were legitimate, constitutional, recognized by Iran's leadership. The leader, the president, all authorities pledged to listen. Cities quiet, police unarmed, protesters marching peacefully. And then the operation was triggered. The 12 Days War. Begins anew. American and Israeli officials admitted Mossad's heavy involvement. Thousands of Starlink terminals smuggled in, handed to terrorist cells inside Iran. Terrorist cells moved fast. They infiltrated crowds. They turned protest squares into killing fields. Civilians and law enforcement slaughtered in gruesome, ISIS-like fashion. Eyewitnesses saw armed operatives issuing commands, moving with discipline. Some disguised as police, fake checkpoints appeared. Civilians stopped, executed at close range. Violence escalated. Officers ambushed, lynched, mutilated, burned alive. Severed heads mounted on car roofs. Bodies dragged through streets, grotesque spectacles designed to terrify. The terror spread. Capital and many cities, drive-by shootings sprayed bullets into crowds. Protesters and bystanders struck down without distinction. Each killing calculated to fracture society. Precious lives lost by foreign bullets, not Iran's law enforcement.
People are totally unarmed people.
Public institutions attacked. Hospitals, banks, mosques, fire trucks, ambulances, buses full of passengers set ablaze. Essential services crippled.
همین حوادث 54 نفر از همکاران ما دچار آسیب شدند و 84 دستگاه آمبولانس ما مورد آسیب قرار گرفت.
زدم محکم داخل شیشه آمبولانس.
The extreme brutality confirmed these were trained operatives. Beheadings, mutilations, coordinated arson, synchronized executions. This was not spontaneous protest. This was organized terror. The tactics mirrored ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Public executions, impersonation of authorities, symbolic destruction, indiscriminate killing, the same doctrine, the same playbook. And it was not unprecedented. Syria, Libya, terrorist cells infiltrated protests, escalated violence, fractured societies. Alongside the violence, a media war was launched. Western mainstream media outlets were so biased as to blame the killings on the government. Executions by terrorists were blamed on security forces, and the victims of terror recast as casualties of state repression. Social media influencers paid generously to amplify the distortion, demonizing Iran, paving the way for foreign intervention. At the same time, cyber attacks, unprecedented, infrastructure targeted, networks crippled, the government forced to shut down the internet to protect citizens and disrupt terrorist communications.
هر کی داره حیوان بوده
اثر تمرین
بازیکن منه شاگرد من بود بازیکن باشگاه سایپای تهران
آبا خارجی بودم
خانه یه دفعه دیدم من پشت به بشه بچم بودم خونش رو دست هم ریخت دخترم
چون ویلناس که بهش تیر خورده اینم کلاهشه که به تیر خورده سرش
به جمزی فرشته خوابیده بود
رفته جایی که خدا دلم از بیشتر تنگ شده.
مردم نیستن،
هدفشون واقعا به هم ریختن مملکتمونه.
مردم ناراحتن به خاطر این گرونی، ولی مردم کارا رو نمیکنن.
خیلی ناراحتم، تو دلم اصلا میله از وقتی صحنه رو من قبلا میدم چیزی میخریدم.
Yet the operation failed miserably. Calm was restored. Millions marched in support of the state. Now the United States and the Israeli regime stand poised to launch a new war, to engineer regional collapse. But Iran has survived millennia, the oldest continuous civilization on Earth, and it will stand tall again, stronger, more prosperous, determined to decide its own destiny. And in the end, the biggest foreign intelligence and terror operation in Iran failed.